Oh, yeah.
Excellent, thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, some of you heard some of this material yesterday, so bear with me. I'll try to go through it a little more rapid than I did yesterday. But basically, I have no financial disclosures to disclose or relationships to disclose. And I'm going to talk about two topics again. One, podiatry and public health on the state level, which is really our experience in Massachusetts. And then I'm going to give you a little introduction to the Amputation Prevention Initiative, which is a project I had started and put together, but much of the work has really been by Jeremy and Emily. I'm talking about public health, as I mentioned before, I look at public health and medicine as two entities that need to come together, and I feel strongly that our goal in achieving parity with organized medicine could very well be through public health and some of our public health initiatives. Two sections that we have in place that we can go to for resources. One is the podiatric health section we have here, as well as the Committee on Public Health, and Janet and Jim, obviously two principals in those organizations. Strategies that I think about in terms of public health initiatives, always trying to remove barriers to podiatry services, identifying diseases and disorders that have an impact on our practice relative to public health, and obviously always thinking about ways to change practice behavior and perception. Defining the role of podiatrists in public health certainly could require a change in one's perception of what we do on a daily basis. Also, there's a role that quality measures will play in achieving this change. Much of us are working now with quality measures and terming and risk management with third-party payers. Identifying obstacles, obviously, that prevent change and controlling our own destiny are things that I often look to in coming up with ideas for our committee. And basically, that's what we've done at Mass Podiatry. We formed the Public Health Committee. And once we got that committee formed, we identified the public health concerns that were most relevant to podiatry. And then we really went and peddled some of our ideas and projects to other associations, particularly in the state of Massachusetts, that might be like-minded and help us achieve some of our goals. So in getting started, I always like to think of how we might be able to change policy in the end, and that's really the basis of the Amputation Prevention Initiative, is to really come out of that with some real third-party quality changes and some good educational programs for both primary care physicians as well as for our own community of podiatrists. But the basis of public health is really not necessarily on the state level or on the private practice level, but really on population base, and in most areas that's at the community level. Initiatives that we've put forward, we've partnered with the Arthritic Foundation in Massachusetts, as well as a program that mimics the National Diabetes and Educational Program that we spoke of yesterday at the multidisciplinary program. We also had an initiative with H1N1. We've done some partnering with the Mass Public Health Association, the Diabetes Coalition of Massachusetts. We've formed a partnership and membership in the Massachusetts Health Council, and obviously have tried working with schools of public health on some of our initiatives. With the Arthritic Foundation, we simply got our members to get involved with the annual Walk for Arthritis, and we've actually volunteered some of our members as speakers in separate forums throughout the state and helping out the Arthritis Foundation. We also got together with the Massachusetts School Nurses Organization and worked on mandating foot exams for children in our public school system. We also have written some articles for their newsletter called Outlook. Where we came into trouble with the Mass School Nurses Organization, and I think these are good learning points, because sometimes you start an initiative, things look good, and then you run into some roadblocks. With us joining with them, the Nurses Organization, they obviously wanted our support, and they wanted our support on a political issue that was in front of the state legislature and had to do with scope of practice for the school nurses in the school system, and put us in a kind of funny position, and we backed down from supporting them. We wrote a letter in their support, I'll say that, but we weren't going to go all out in supporting them. And these are problems that you come up with when you're dealing with these organizations and when you have responsibility to your own membership. In terms of the National Diabetes Educational Program, our idea simply was to mimic that at the state level. I told Gary Adams, our executive director, that we ought to try to do something. My initial idea was just to put their little learning web thing on our website so that people could access it and get credit and kind of learn a little bit about the separate disciplines and how they might overlap in our daily work. And what we thought we'd do is get a conference call together, and we got the dentist and we had our own representatives and so the executive director of optometry and the pharmacy association on the phone, and the next thing we knew we were developing a real good relationship to work with each other. We're tying our websites together on the diabetes, which we thought was a common area that we could all work on right away. And then the dentists were really forthcoming in setting up a panel at the Yankee Dental Congress. And as the optometrist mentioned yesterday, we're also going to have credit available to the optometrists, podiatrists, dentists, and pharmacists that attend that panel discussion. And so we get CME credit, and they're doing it at no cost to any of the other providers. So, and Barry Rosenblum, who serves on our board at Mass Podiatry, has volunteered to be our representative on the panel. The other thing I put together was the Community Service Foundation. This was out of the need to find a way to fund our projects, because I went to APMA, which was very kind to give us a few $1,000s, but you just can't keep going back to the same source. So we needed to come up with ways that we could seek out funds, and you really need to do that. I learned the difference between what a nonprofit is and what a true public charity is. And so we formed a public charity 501c3, and now we're able to seek out funds. And also we hoped that this would serve as a venue for other podiatrists in the state who could come up with a qualified project that had no affiliation with the hospital perhaps, or a college or a university, that wanted to do a project, and we're looking for some basis to kind of support their project and then from which they could then seek funding. For the future, we have in place a subcommittee on health information technology, which we're trying to bring forward as the EHR improves down the road, and there's these health exchange information networks where we'll kind of pool data together. We want to try to take the initiative to get some of the podiatry information together by putting us podiatrists together and pooling some of that data, which is a complicated thing which has to be encrypted and private, and I'm sure we'll run into plenty of roadblocks, but we at least have some talk in place to do that. We have some other research projects on fall prevention, childhood obesity, and of course we want to get into grant writing, so we're hoping to open an educational forum for our membership. For the future, the way I look at things, and this is my idea, truthfully, and I've talked to many residency directors about it, but it would change, create a real change in behavior, is to form either a preventative podiatric residency program that could combine an NPH degree, or perhaps a fellowship, much like the Cooks did, that also provide them with an MPH or an opportunity to get their MPH degree. A little bit about our website. I put this together. This is one of the deliverables I had when I was an MPH student, at least initiated this website, and basically looked at those areas that we practice daily that I thought, podiatrists needed to really look at and say, these are public health issues, that things that I address every day, and we put this stuff on our website. And basically it just addresses each one of those topics. It has links to certain articles or places through APMA or the American Diabetes Association, for instance, with diabetes. Of course, peripheral arterial disease. I also tried to put a project together with peripheral arterial disease, but unfortunately the project was plagued with problems because of the tool that I was using with the ankle brachial index, which is not, it's a sensitive test, but lacks certain specificity, and putting a good study together just didn't prove to be worthwhile. So in any case, there are a lot of things that we've tried to put forward, myself and others, and haven't worked out, but we've done certain things that obviously have worked out. So I often just say, keep trying, not to get discouraged. And certainly this is mostly sweat work. It's not cost at all. So there's a lot that we can do as podiatrists individually without really spending a lot of money. smoking cessation is something that I know with my patient base I come in contact with on a daily basis, and I think it's really obligatory that we ourselves try to encourage our patients to stop smoking and to seek out the different avenues available for them to assist them in stopping smoking. Again, obesity is a huge problem. I think our best efforts here might be in children with childhood obesity. I'm not so sure if there's really a good way to counsel adult patients and be successful. Skin cancers, certainly that's one of the big things that we all do in podiatry. I mean, if anybody who sees feet all day and does occasional biopsies, I think that's certainly something where we should remind ourselves about the dangers of that, and it's not something that we think about in podiatry all the time. Sports injury is very common. I know I see a lot of kids in practice and forever counseling them about training and stretching and ways to prevent injury. And again, these are all public health issues that we really address on a day-to-day basis. Health disparities, another one. This is a kind of avenue that I've used for encouraging change in Title 19. You know, that's in our community, it's tough because in Massachusetts we have a terrible relationship with Medicaid, and most providers do not participate in the Medicaid program and don't care to participate in the Medicaid program. But in educating them about Title 19 and realizing that we may be treated on an equal basis with other allopathic and osteopathic physicians, I think you'll find a lot more podiatrists willing to get involved in that program. Osteoporosis, certainly, and fall prevention is something we do all the time. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about the Amputation Prevention Initiative, because honestly, Jeremy and Emily have really taken this project off. It's just a project that I had come and put together between Mass Public Health Association, and this is their mission, obviously a little bit different than us at Mass Podiatry, but their goal is to protect the health and safety of the residents of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. They promote laws, policies, and programs to protect the health of families and communities, and obviously interested in preventing disease and injury. And at MPMS, we're more concerned about supporting the advancement of foot health care and also our own interests as a society. So sometimes you got to bridge a little bit and try to get people on board, because our ultimate goals really do reflect patient care and improvement in patient care and outcomes. Fortunately, I was able to do this at the right time. Jeff Wilkinson, as I mentioned yesterday, had contact with podiatry, so when I went to MPHA, he was the executive director at the time, so he was more than willing to sit with us and ask us what ideas we had. And Gary Adams, who's our executive director, and myself sat down with him and, at the time, Roberta Friedman, and really, we were just rattling off ideas off the top of our head that we could come up with. And I had this Amputation Prevention Initiative idea in place, and so Roberta had explained to me how they have internships available at the MPHA, and how they took students from Harvard and BU, et cetera. So I, when I saw that avenue, I quickly put the program together and got it up to several of the schools, and then waited till we could get somebody to buy in. And we did get a lot of activity, and we ended up going with the Harvard School of Public Health. But the internship aims and tasks were set into four areas, and which we have not got to the end by any means yet, but we've done extremely well thanks to Emily and Jeremy on policy and now on advocacy. The idea initially was just to identify and quantify rates of lower extremity amputation, and then take those rates and address it and stratify it or adjust it so that we could see what the real rates were in Massachusetts based on the populations that were most at risk. And obviously we were looking for a systematic review of the literature about measures that had been proven to reduce the chance of having an amputation. The advocacy part was to take it forward to hopefully develop some health policy change, and that of course would be bringing this initiative to third-party payers and Department of Public Health in Massachusetts, and obviously want to eventually get into a public education program, and I'm sure Mass Podiatry and Mass Public Health would be more than willing to get some publicity on this as we go forward into a kind of media coverage program. I initially went to two experts, and Jim mentioned Jim Roble before. Jim actually did the Dartmouth program before me, so when I needed help and I needed a podiatrist, I went to Jim, and at that time Jim was at the VA in Vermont at White River Junction. And Jim's a very smart guy, especially when it comes to study designs, etc. So anytime I had a project, I would go to Jim and he would tell me what's good and what's bad about it. And that was really the end of my PAD initiative, thanks to Jim. But he's been very helpful. He's helpful in getting the program and this particular initiative going. And so is Larry Harkless. Larry, I don't know. He probably wouldn't recognize me if he saw me, but he answered the call when I called him and basically was willing to sit on telephone conferences with our initial interns and got them directed in the right direction, I would say, from his knowledge. So basically it was a joint initiative between the Mass Podiatry and Mass Public Health, and it had the initiatives that I've spelled out. The learning objectives, really, I've gone over. The nuts and bolts of it were that we really wanted to get a field experience at one of the schools of public health. We had to seek out some funding. Our initial funding came from Mass Podiatry itself and from some of our members. And then as we went forth with it after the first year, we went to APMA and sought out the grant, which they were kind enough to give us. And the actual support came from Mass Public Health as far as personnel and the use of computers, phones, and supplies for the initial part of the project. Our two first interns were Howie Gibbons and Maggie Lepre, and they got at least the area started with the first phase of the initiative. And they had come up with certain risk factors that they found, which was having diabetes for more than 10 years, being a male, more than female, African Americans and American Indians. They came up with the different factors that were, you know, in the literature based on, you know, not having podiatric care, neuropathy, peripheral arterial disease, poor response to infection, all the things that go along with diabetes that we're all well aware of. We just wanted to get that stuff out, and we liked it that it was two people that were non-podiatrists who were coming up with these factors for us. And obviously Jeremy and Emily have gone a lot further on this. We had some recommended interventions on their part, which basically was to increase the rate of annual foot exams, which we were hoping for, and certainly looking at the preventing of ulcers, which is the precursor, obviously, to having an amputation. And obviously the idea of a multidisciplinary team model, which has been shown in the literature to be the best intervention. Proven strategies, I went over. Rates of annual foot exams, this was the original data that the first interns came up with. In Massachusetts at that time, foot exams were 76, almost 77%, and better than the national average. And they had improved from 1999 to 2005. But the goal of healthy people 2010 is 90%. I'm not sure what it is for 2020, but I'm sure it's we're not where we should be. And basically, easy way to just track that is using the Institute for Healthcare Improvement Tracker System, which just basically takes the percentage of patients that receive the foot exam by putting the number of documented exams over the number of diabetic patients and multiply times 100, and you can track those things. And one thing that was always interesting to me was that when I was up at Dartmouth Hitchcock had decided to get rid of their podiatry service for political reasons, and unfortunately have yet to reinstitute it. But it was remarkable when I looked in 2006-07, their data, their rate of diabetic foot exams on their diabetics was only 32%. They've since raised that to 64%, but they're still well below where they should be. And we're hopeful that they'll see a way to put a podiatry service back in place. It's just, again, politics and anyways. As far as red flags, these are things that really Jeremy and Emily have found that PCPs, what's their comfort level with foot exam, what constitutes a proper annual foot exam. These are the things that we need to really get out there so that they become the standard. And I think once we're able to do that and show that those providers are really not capable of doing the exam or not willing, then I think that we'll find ourselves in a much better place. There's a lot of data here. These are the schools that we basically went out for and the funding that I spoke about. And Teresa Mason then became the Director of Education at Mass Public Health. She's not as energetic as our first director, but Jeremy and Emily have been able to work with her and have obviously done very well. The second phase, obviously, is to identify stakeholders such as third-party payers, legislators, and community health groups, and obviously create the public education amputation program. And then our big goal was to get two more interns involved, and at the time when Emily and Jeremy were doing their fellowship and they were at the Harvard School of Public Health, I approached John Guarini, and he was kind enough to let me approach them, and that got the ball rolling, and they were kind enough to come on board, and they've really taken the initiative forward. That's basically all I have. And I'll leave it there.